Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Animal Communication, Intuition, and Healing Mastermind Group. This is Lynn McKenzie of www.animalenergy.com, and today's date is May 21st, 2008. And today I'm very pleased and honored to have Penelope Smith with us for the hour. The purpose of these calls is to facilitate learning, especially from the experts, and we couldn't have anyone with more expertise in our midst today. So I want to introduce Penelope in a moment, and I just want to say, Penelope, thank you so much for being with us this evening. It truly is an honor.
You're very welcome.
And just to, Penelope probably doesn't need introduction, but just to give you a little bit of history about Penelope, Penelope is a well-known pioneer in the field of interspecies communication. She's the author of popular books, Animal Talk and When Animals Speak, both in multiple languages. She's the editor of the quarterly magazine Species Link, and her visionary work has been featured in the United States and abroad. She's developed amazing telepathic communication techniques that complement both ancient wisdom and modern scientific knowledge, and believes that the sacred connection we make through telepathic communication with other species is essential to human wholeness. I also want to let you know that Penelope has recently released her newest book, which I mentioned in the last month's Mastermind. It's called Animals and Spirit. I highly recommend it. I'm sure it will bring you tears, joy, and healing as it did me. And for anybody who wants to look at her website, the URL for Penelope's website is www.animaltalk.net. And at the end, I'm going to ask Penelope the best way to get her book for those of you who may not have read it yet and would like to get it. So, Penelope, I just want to say your book is fabulous. And in reading it, it was so wonderful to see so many parallels and confirmations of my own work. And being the typical Aries, I want to cut right to the part that was the most exciting for me, but I'll try to hold off for a bit here with my own excitement. And I want to ask you some questions that I think will be really relevant to the whole group. So I was wondering if you could speak to us a little bit about how the animals feel about death and the dying process and the naturalness of it all.
Okay. Generally, most animals are aware of themselves as spiritual beings living here to enjoy their physical experience to the full. They don't think of death as a failure, as a terrible thing, as dying as something to be avoided, as is common in Western human culture. And so they don't have the trauma hanging on generally connected to it that many humans do. Now, domesticated animals living with people feel and receive the thoughts and fears of their people. And so you have a shift that goes on in some animals where they hang on because they don't want to hurt their person. They think they're letting their person down if they leave their bodies, and that makes it sometimes very hard for them to exit and adds more suffering both to themselves and to their person, even though the person thinks it's the best way to go to hang on. But animals generally have an attitude, they don't do a lot of thinking about it. They just live and die as a natural extension. They come into life, enjoy it to the full, and enjoy everything about it. Generally, the attitude toward animals is they look at what's good. They don't go, oh, dear, this is really bad. They look for what's good. Oh, I can, even when they're dying, oh, I can still smell. I can still see my ball that I enjoy playing with. Oh, my person is there. And so their attitude is something that we can really learn from because it's a more natural attitude. It's a more connected to the whole cycle of life as it really is here on Earth rather than all our ideas about it. So that, I would say, is the general attitude towards death. And then when animals release into spirit, when they leave their bodies, it's generally a feeling of freedom and expansiveness and homecoming. And they want their people to be okay. And they also want to share with their people the wonderful experience that they're having. and let their people know that they're okay. So they really want to be connected. And this is the glory of animal communication, is people can learn how to stay connected and have this process of dying and death with their animals, which obviously people have to face because animals generally live much shorter lives than people do, have it be a actually rewarding and deep and beautiful experience.
Wonderful. That's so great. I mean, if we could adopt, if everyone on Earth could adopt the attitudes of our animal companions, life would be a little different than it is now, I guess.
Yeah, it would be.
That's so wonderful. Okay, the number one question that most students and group members have today is how they can receive better information from their animal companions that are now on the other side. Of course, if they read your book where you share the wonderful meditation, that would be a great thing. But I wondered if you had any tips you might be able to share with everybody on the call today.
Well, it's similar to communicating with animals on this side, in that if you have an agenda, if you have a lot of fear about what you're going to hear, then you're going to block. Many people who are in a very traumatic feeling about the animal death, it's very difficult for them to get into a calm place to receive from their animal friends. And then people have sometimes agendas. Well, why won't he talk to me? And what is he doing? And how come he left me? And
yeah.
And so all those things get in the way of clarity. And really, as in all animal communication, you need to step out of the way, get your mind out of the way, and allow the communication, the feelings, to come through. If you do, then you will receive the great gift that all animals give when they depart into the spiritual realm. It's an incredible opening, and often there's a great gift for their person in it. So to receive communication more clearly, take out the anxiety, take out the agendas, take out the, oh, I must get something now, and just allow it to flow. You've just been through an amazing experience, and obviously there's grief and loss because we're human, and we experience that. And just to allow yourself time and space to expand and allow your animal to come to you. They generally will connect with people, have manifestations of their presence physically, will show you that they're there. And if people start to grab or want the animal to do something, like some people will say, well, I want him back right now, I want him to reincarnate, then all those things get in the way. It's just like getting pure communication with an animal who is alive. How do you do it best? You get out of the way and you feel the animal. You allow yourself to become them, be one with them, and really feel what they're feeling, rather than creating this separation and then projecting your human thoughts onto them. And the same things apply after death. People need to get calm and go into the space that the animal's in. And they're generally in a space of freedom and beauty and expansiveness and playfulness and just enjoying their new state, especially if they've been through a prolonged illness. It's just such a feeling of, wow, I'm free, I can jump around and play and all that. So I'd say to people, be gentle with yourself, give yourself time, and watch those fears and agendas that get in the way of receiving. Really, the animals are there. The spiritual realm, of course, is vast, but there really isn't any distance.
Yes, yeah.
No distance, no time, no problem.
Yeah, it's quite amazing. I sometimes say to my students who are really trying so hard, ask the animals to give you whatever message it is that they're going to give you within the next 2 weeks. It takes all the pressure off. Just, you don't know. It doesn't, like, oh, they always want it now, today, in this moment. It's like sometimes just if it's not working, just say, over the next 2 weeks, could you show me the answer to, you know, X? So that's great. That's wonderful. I'm happy to hear that. And I know a lot of my clients personally have had visitation from their animal companions shortly after death, etc., but sometimes they're in so much grief they can barely even acknowledge it or recognize it. And on some level they know, but it's like they were in so much grief or so much pain that they missed it at that moment, and they have to kind of come through some of that sometimes to get the connection. So that's wonderful.
You know, sometimes if you have a chance to, if your animal is, you know that they're dying and they're letting you know, and, you know, they're going, and it isn't a sudden death, if you can sort of get your grief done beforehand, you know, grief comes from thinking of it as a loss rather than staying connected. So if you can get it done beforehand, think about it as a loss, then recognize you're thinking about it as a loss. get through, let the emotion go through. Then you can be present to actually receive the expansiveness and beauty of what it is, and as they transition, and receive the full gift. My last experience of animal death in my family a couple years ago was probably one of the most transcendent that I've ever had. Of course, I've had a lot of experience at it with having so many animals. But I just was, I really didn't cry afterwards. I just got into such a state of love, and the gift I received from Buddha Boy, my former Afghan hound, was so great. I just kind of floated for a couple days. And, you know, the hardest part, of course, is putting the body into the ground for me. Mm-hmm. And, you know, putting earth on the face. But then I just go, okay, I watch my thoughts. I watch me thinking of this as a negative thing, when actually it's a positive thing of giving the body back to the mother where the body belongs, and the great Mother Earth can take care of it. So it's just, it's really, we go through with our animals on a journey in life. And in death, we also learn, and we can use these opportunities as and be grateful for the opportunities from our animal friends to spiritually evolve. And they do us a great service by teaching us how to be more open in our hearts. And if we can continue to stay that way, even unto death, then, and of course honor if we feel the emotions going through, and just let them go through and let them flush through and help us to move on. And then we can receive such tremendous gifts of growth with our animals, and that, I think, is the greatest service we can, and honoring we can do of the beauty of having lived with our animal friends.
Yeah, that's wonderful. I felt very grateful that my dog Jigs had asked to be the only dog, and the only animal, actually. So for 14 and a half years, it was just him and I. So I went through a very long period of time with no loss. And we didn't have a lot of animals growing up, so our family dog, who, you know, I begged for for years on end, when she finally made her transition, I had left the home, so I didn't have a huge amount of experience with it, but certainly I had with clients, and I was so grateful that I had all the knowledge and had read all the books and had so much connection with Jigs, because when he made his transition, he was 14 and a half, and it was obvious it was coming. It wasn't completely imminent, you know, at any day for a long time, but it was very nice to be able to kind of work through that process a little bit in advance, as you said, because when the actual moment came, and we assisted him because he had a problem where he couldn't really breathe and he was lacking oxygen, I was able to be very present with him, and he was able to eat cookies until he got so sleepy he couldn't chew anymore, which was,
oh my goodness,
in his mind, there was nothing better in the world than to go out eating. I mean, Jigs lived to eat. Anybody who knows Jigs is laughing. Anyone who's muted and knows Jigs is laughing on the other side right now, and he's probably giggling himself. So it was beautiful, and I was happy. I mean, there was sadness in there, and there was tears in there, but there was some really amazing, there was a great connection and a great feeling between us as all of this was going down. I've seen a significant pattern in my clients and even Jigs with animals leaving the earth plane or transitioning at very auspicious times, either astrologically mm-hmm. speaking, coordinating
yes.
with solstices, special dates, etc. And you mentioned that in your book. And I wondered
yes.
if you could speak to that a little bit and any significance you feel there may be.
Well, first of all, animals are real sensitive to energies. And so I'm just thinking of Yohinto, my tortoiseshell cat. I always ask my animals when I go on trips if they, and I know they're, you know, getting older and they've kind of gone up and down. And I said, if you can wait till I come back. Well, I went to Brazil. It was a long trip, teaching trip, and Yohinto couldn't wait. And the reason she couldn't wait is because this was I can remember. Was it new moon or full moon? Anyway, it was.
I think your book
was,
said it was a new moon.
It was a new moon. It's in the book.
Yeah,
it'll tell you the details.
I read
now
it
I can't remember.
More recently than you.
But she told me afterwards. She said she couldn't wait because this enabled her to easily move into spirit. The energies were just right, and of course she was with. My house sitter was also an animal communicator I trained who she loved dearly, and they had an incredible, amazing experience together and with all my animal family attending her departure, and it was absolutely beautiful. But she explained to me there was no way that she could wait because then it would have been painful for her.
Yeah.
And so that is my understanding, and a lot of my animal friends have left at the full moon.
Uh-huh.
And again, the energies are real strong, and the connection with other dimensions is strong, and so they go at that time. Sometimes they'll go on for astrological conjunctions, certain things
yeah.
that are happening that are really making the energy very high-powered on the planet, and they'll be bringing in an extra gift. At that time, opening a portal so that more energy can come in to help us all. And, you know, they've told me a lot about that. And it, really, it's that sensitivity that they have and that lack of barrier with, you know, letting mind projections get in the way. They just, you know, they just surrender to the natural forces that help them.
Yeah.
And help us all.
I think it's quite amazing. Jigs made his transition on my parents' wedding anniversary. And
wow.
actually went to visit them. They live in a Toronto area in Canada, and they were actually at a cottage for the week, and he actually came to visit them as a rare bird, a bird they've never even seen before, and they both look at birds quite a bit. They don't even think it was a bird that even exists, but he made a visitation to them when they were out on a walk. And he chose September 10th, which was the day right between the day between the 999 harmonic energy of the 9th of September and also the day prior to the new moon and partial solar eclipse on the 11th of September. And, you know, it was very interesting, you know, and it said
yeah.
that right at this time the solar codes for completing the old cycle and commencing the new will be integrated into the planetary collective consciousness.
Yeah.
You know, and there was a new Earth cycle beginning right then. So, and the, you know, the ninth marked the completion or ending of a transitional cycle that had begun in 1998. So it was very interesting, and I keep
yeah.
seeing it over and over again with the animals.
Yeah, and particularly I see it with people who are conscious and learning animal communication or are animal communicators, and the animals are their helpers. So you have the animals being very aware spiritual beings who are also bringing in great energy to the planet, not only when they're in body, but when they transition, they sort of use that opportunity to kind of boost us all up.
Yeah, it's wonderful.
Yeah.
Another question I wanted to ask you about is, have you noticed that animals often clear the path to our goals, dreams, and successes once they're on the other side? Because it really feels to me, and I've seen it with clients as well, that Jigs has literally plowed a wide-open path for me and has removed any obstacles to moving forward. It's like everything's just going boom, 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 right into place.
Yeah, well, that certainly is happening for you, and I'm sure it happens with other people too. It's all in your consciousness, really. Are you able to receive the gifts that the animals give? Are you able to be aware of it? The more you're aware of it, the more you're able to receive it, the more it's amplified.
Yeah, it's so beautiful. I wish I could just shout it out to the world. It's so wonderful. It's like everybody deserves to have this opportunity
yeah.
to know this.
Yeah.
So I personally have a huge amount of teaching from the other side. First of all, from my own ancestors, mostly my grandmother, and also from, I have an Andalusian stallion guide. I call him an ascended master of the equine realm on the other side, Lucero, and then in more recently, Jigs. And I just wonder, do you feel that for most people, the spirit realm is ripe for teaching?
Well, of course.
It seems like it really seems like that I almost get more from the other side than I do from the animals on this side. It just seems
it's our ancestors for thousands of years recognized that you actually can't live a life on this earth without a lot of assistance.
Uh-huh.
Power animals are spiritual guides in animal form, that you get all their power and energy when you ask for it and when you stay connected with them. And then they honor the ancestors and their whole lineage of beings. And so it's really more in recent times in modern Western society that has sort of knocked out a lot of these awarenesses, and that people are bringing them back, and even more so having lost them and bringing them back in a new light, where you realize that in this day and age now, all the dimensional veils are all gone.
Yes.
There isn't a separation anymore among the dimensions. They're all gone. Really, there is no separate spiritual realm and physical realm. It's all our perception. And so we're all in this together. No, in form, out of form, however you want to look at it, spirit and all realms are now intermingled. And we are going into a space where as we allow our perception to shift, as we allow ourselves to open, that we have access to all the power of all the aspects of ourselves, which is everybody in all dimensions. In other words, we're all really one being with lots of different aspects. And this extends into what we call the spiritual realm.
Yes, yeah, it's wonderful. And I have a few questions that are a little bit more anchored on the physical plane from some students, and we will, just for everyone on the line, we will be opening it up for some questions after we have finished the bulk of this. But a couple people sent questions in, and one of the questions I have is from Sally, and Sally lost both her dog and her cat within a couple of months of each other. They were both unexpected, although at the time she really felt like letting them go was the right thing to do. And she had a communication with her dog, Buddy, after, I'm not sure if she meant before or after the transition, but she hasn't been able to move on, and she feels guilt, which I know is an incredibly common thing for us to feel, that she didn't do more for him at the time. The vet misdiagnosed him, and she felt that maybe she should have insisted on more tests. And then 2 months later, her cat, Ralphie, made his transition. And she says she needs to move on, but she just doesn't know how. And, I'm sure a lot of what you've already said up to now will help, but I wondered if you had any specifics that you might be able to share with her and things that will help the rest of the group in that respect.
Well, if she doesn't feel that she can ask her dog about this, like the things that she's worried about, that she didn't do tests or she didn't do that, contacting the animal and asking them about their death is really helpful, because it gives you a whole different perspective. First thing is that the animals aren't really concerned. They're not hung up on all that. They don't blame people, and they also know that it was all perfect, that they did everything and they were part of your life, and that you did everything that you possibly could that was best in whatever you did. That's the general attitude of animals. So if we can, and if Sally can, get in touch with her dog and really feel the dog's feelings rather than focusing on really a manufactured guilt mechanism here that is pounding her into the ground, if she can really communicate with her dog and feel how her dog is feeling as a spirit, then that can help her greatly to move on, because that's where everything is really at. I mean, the dog is in the spiritual realm and has a whole experience. But oftentimes people in consultations will ask, well, how does he feel about this, and what about the tests? And, you know, the animals will answer those kinds of questions, or they'll tell you exactly how they feel now and what it's like and how they want you to share that. So I feel like there needs to be some help to get beyond or to clear some of these make herself wrong and guilty patterns, because that's really all done, and she was doing her absolute best out of love for her dog. And that's all any of us can do. We can always do the backwards thing of going backwards and saying, well, if we did this, if we did that, if we, you know, were there, if we weren't there, if. I mean, it's crazy. And the animals don't think this way. I've never had an animal say, well, if she had only taken me to surgery, you know, or if she had only done this or seen this other vet. I mean, there isn't any kind of backwards, guilty, make wrong kind of thinking there. They just want to share with you how beautiful their life was with you and how beautiful life is now. And if some parts of the death or their life was challenging, well, that's how it is here on Earth. You know, I mean, and life in bodies is challenging, and we have pain. I mean, the animals accept that. So I understand this is a very common thing for people to go through and to berate themselves, and sometimes it takes getting some counseling or getting some other kind of help for themselves. That guilty pattern's coming from somewhere, you know, somewhere she's accepted that, you know, she didn't do things right somewhere. So whether you need help that way, or I just think the greatest balm is communicating with the animal, because they have such a balanced perspective.
Yes, me too. You know, I have to say that in all of, and I probably do maybe 40% of my business or 50% of my business now is the death and dying and the afterlife sort of, and I've never had an animal say, you know, you should have done this or you should have tried this medicine. I mean, they always show me that they're reading what's in our heart. It's like they're reading the language of our heart and our intention. And I the common thing I always hear is how much peace people feel after tuning in. No matter how bad they feel beforehand, it's always like it just kind of kicks that down a notch. So thank you for addressing that.
And I also want to say that a lot of people try to do too much. You know, because they're afraid of death, and they think it's a terrible thing, they try to do too much and sometimes race their animals around to all kinds of treatment that isn't really going to help. So then people berate themselves for not doing enough. You know, so it goes on. And I find generally animals like things as simple as possible and to be as close to their people as possible. And so it boils down to love.
Yes, it really does. That's wonderful. It is, and I'm sure many people, as you're speaking, can really relate to many things you're saying. I have another question from Leslie, and she wondered if you could help guide her through some things she can deal to help those heal that have already crossed. And I believe that Leslie's involved in rescue, and it's not an animal specifically that she knew on this plane, but I believe it was an animal that was in an abusive situation. And Leslie says, in my mind, the situation epitomizes the unconsciousness of life on this planet at times. And and her real goal is, and I explained to her that we could certainly counsel and heal from the other side. So she really feels that she wants these animals to know the possibilities of life in a body, and hopefully their choice for the next time would be much different.
And it's just the same as communicating with an animal live. You know, all these things that you wish for them, Leslie, really sometimes, because animals are working through things just like we are. They're on a spiritual journey. Their lives are spiritual journeys, too. Sometimes they have to learn things about abuse and learning how to choose kindness to themselves rather than abuse. Sometimes they're working those things out. And so when you communicate with them and they're beyond, and say they're still working out something in relationship to the abuse in their family and how their end came because somebody starved them on a chain or something like that or whatever, and they're working that out, and you, by communicating with them, can just listen and help them through that. I had a veterinarian friend who worked with animals in the shelter. She volunteered to euthanize those that needed to be. And, of course, it was a hard job. And she said she wanted me to, she asked me for advice on what she should do. And I said, just tell the animals as they're going through, notice, you know, what's going on with them. She hadn't, you know, gotten a great facility yet in animal communication. I said, but notice what's going on with them and tell them they can have a different choice. They can picture their next lifetime with people as being very happy and loved and having a family. And so that's some of the things that you can do. It sounds like, Leslie, that you're already on track. You already have, you know, the ideas of what you can do. Just start applying them, and then remember to listen to the animals, because even on the other side, because they all have different paths, and they'll all have different ideas. Some may say, well, that's all done. I just needed to complete that karma and to complete that with that person and give that person that love, because before I had been the abuser, you know, they may tell you a whole past life thing. I had been the abuser, and now it's my turn to, you know, feel compassion in, you know, for that kind of a situation. And you may find out all kinds of things from them. And then they release it, you know, or they help you to understand, and then they go on to their next cycle. There's all kinds of things going on. It isn't like people think sometimes, like, oh, humans are all the bad guys and animals are all the good guys. We're all in this together, and it's really a game of experiencing all the different aspects of life and learning from it and coming back home to union with ourselves and with all beings.
Wonderful. That's wonderfully put, and that's I know Leslie's been a student for quite a while in many courses, so I know she will take everything you said to very good use. A couple of people have a hard time reconciling when very young animals leave this plane. You know, 6-month-old kittens or 2-year-old dogs or 4-year-old horses, and I just wondered if you could. I certainly understand that there's soul agreements and spiritual things that they come here to do and to teach, and their job is done. I wondered if you could just speak a little bit more to that situation.
Yeah, it's very common that a spirit will not necessarily want to or have a desire to be in the body for a very long time. They only came for a short experience, or to connect with certain other beings, whether it's human beings or others of their same species or whoever it is, or to touch down on the earth, and then they go, oh, okay, that's all I needed from this experience. So it's not for us to say that the best thing is a long life.
Yes.
I mean, people have this idea in this culture that it's a failure to die. And it's particularly bad to die when you're only a baby. And my experience has been with animals and with spirits who touch down into animal bodies, that the ones that leave in a very short time, generally either the body was defective and they just let it go, or they are sort of like angels. You know, they have a sort of an angelic energy to touch in, but they weren't meant to go through a whole cycle of life for 15 years or something in a cat body or whatever. They were meant to touch, bring that beautiful energy, and I've met many, many young animals who have this wisdom and strength and light coming out of them, and then they're gone.
Yes.
So, you know, to get people to look at what gift did they get from contacting this animal, because usually it's enormous. They just go, oh, I wanted, they were such, it was such light, it was such love that I wanted them to stay forever. Well, yeah, Now you, who have been touched by that, let it grow in your heart. Because that animal is not meant to just, you know, hang out in a body for another 15 years for you to get it.
Yeah. It's amazing how we think. I had a client whose cat was here for a very short time, and she, the cat told me I was her guardian angel, and she really wasn't experiencing me as fully as she could, so I came to Earth to show her who I was so we could make this deep connection, and then when I left, we would be together. And, you know, I heard when you were saying something earlier, I laughed because I was thinking about, I listened to a lot of the channeled material by Abraham, the Abraham Hicks information, and she was talking in one of her lectures, and this is priceless, and she said, you know, someone dies at 40 and everyone says, oh, what a shame. And she goes, really what they're saying is, what a shame. They could have hung out till they had an achy old body that didn't work anymore and suffered, you know. But we don't think of it that way. We think, oh, no, they got to stay and, you know, go the distance even if they're...
But look at this common societal thing of failure and loss.
Yes.
And it's an idea. It's an idea that's strongly implanted in our society. And we can shift our ideas and not suffer so much.
Yes.
It's all these ideas that make us suffer.
Yes, yeah. That's brilliant. Yeah, it's wonderful. Now, I want to tell you about the part of your book that made me jump up and down for joy. It gave me goosebumps. I mean, there were so many great parts and so many things that I had seen, you know, in my career. But what was really great was when you spoke about the last chapter, when you spoke about Buddha Boy and Pasha. And I hope I'm saying, is it Pasha or Pasha?
Pasha.
Pasha.
I
thought it was Pasha because I remember when I was at your house doing some training, Buddha Boy was there, but we had talked about Pasha as well. And how you spoke about Pasha being partially in Buddha Boy, you know, and to different percentages, because I have been really trying to reconcile what's going on with my Maltese puppy, Carly, because when Jigs crossed, and even prior to crossing, he let me know that he wasn't going to reincarnate right now, if ever. And that was completely okay with me. I felt like we had had... Jigs really came for huge things. He turned my life in the right direction, really. I mean, I was going down a whole different path when I got him. And he really kind of changed me around to follow my heart and to follow my passion a bit more. But what happened is Carly came along. She was born in October, about a month after Jigs made his departure. And she came to me in the middle of January. And there are so many, I keep telling people, there's a real lot of Jigs in Carly, but it isn't the full embodiment of Jigs' spirit. And I was thinking, you know, how can this be? I haven't really noticed this before in other animals. I mean,
it's very common, actually.
Yeah, right down to licking. When I first got her, she kept trying to lick my eyelashes, and Jigs did that. That's not a normal thing.
this is what's happening in this particular case, and this one is really neat, is Jigs has such a great presence. A huge presence.
Yes.
And he's everywhere.
Yeah.
You know, he's all around you, and he's completely through you. You know, he's really, you and he are one presence.
Yes, definitely.
And so he's everywhere in your house. He's everywhere. So your little dog came along. Carly, is that?
Yes, Carly.
Carly. And she is feeling that presence, and also all the images of his life are so strong that she just kind of goes into them because she enjoys them.
Yeah.
You know, they just feel good. But Jigs is already there with you. I mean, there's really no separation. So it's not like he even needs to go into her body. He surrounds everybody.
Yes.
He
yeah.
surrounds your whole household. Yeah. He surrounds you.
Yeah.
And so she's just enjoying that energy. She also is a part of your soul group. You know, we kind of go in soul family, soul groups, and come back together to help each other.
Yes.
And so she's a part of that group, so it's real natural for her to do the things that Jigs does. But she's just a happy girl.
Yes.
She just enjoys the happy energy that's associated with Jigs, so she does those things.
Yeah, it was great to read about it and how over time even that there was less of Pasha in Buddha Boy. And I just thought that was really interesting because, I do definitely feel that there is a difference. There's even a difference between when Jigs made his transition, you know, in September to now. And I still feel very much, I mean, I'll always be connected to him. And it's interesting because Lucero, who's my Andalusian stallion guide, he told me, years ago when I first connected with him at my first animal communication course, prior to even coming down to do training with you, he told me that he told me all about soul groups and how we were all in the same soul group. And, I mean, one of the first things he told me was that he knew Jigs. And I was like, how could you know Jigs? You live over here and Jigs is over there. And it was so confusing for me. But he really explained to me about the soul group. So it was wonderful. And many of my friends who are animal communicators are going, are you sure Carly's not Jigs? And I'm like, no, he's not. He would have told me.
See, that's you know, we like to put things in little packages and
yes.
make them really neat. The fact is now we're going into unity, and so there will be less and less differentiation among beings. So that, you know, it's becoming very easy to shift into another being to become them.
Yes.
And for them to become us. So there won't be all this, are we all separate, and is this the individual soul who is Jigs? And
yes.
pretty soon it'll be, you know, just this kind of melting feeling, even though we still will express individuality, it won't be a clinging and attachment to individuality. It will be more a joy of expression of different aspects of the whole.
Yeah, that's wonderful. That's really good. I enjoyed lots of your book, most of your book, but the last chapter was really, I was like, woo, this gave me goosebumps when I read that part. So what I want to do is I want to open it up for a few questions. So if you are on the line and you do have a question that you would like to ask, all you have to do is press 5-star, and I will see your hand go up. I only found two specific questions from Leslie and Sally, and if you did send one, for some reason I thought three might have come in and I couldn't find the third one. I got a huge volume of email in the last couple of days. Okay, we have a question, and if you still have a question, you can feel free to put your hand up and we will get to you as we can. So I'm going to go to Janetta, and I think you're muted, hang on.
There, no, I think I'm unmuted.
I can
now.
Hear you now. Sorry, you had a mute sign beside your name, so I can hear you now.
Okay, great. Yeah, talk about soul groups. The Pompak, this huge group of Pomeranians that have been in my life for 14 years that we've been a pack and continue to be a pack. Can you talk a little bit about that? Because it's been quite an extraordinary experience.
Well, what is it that you would like to ask about it? I'm not sure where to go here on it.
Oh, okay. Just my, what is my contract with them?
Jeanette has a very large pack of Pomeranians.
What are we trying to do together here?
Oh, you hear Belinda barking here
yeah.
in the background.
Yes, hello.
Beings, it's interesting how we're attracted. You know, we get onto a certain style of being and a certain energy. Like you were attracted to the Pomeranians. I've, you know, have Afghans in my life for 30 years. Other people have boxers or, who knows, Siamese cats or whatever. And there's a certain energy that's connected to that type of being. So what happens is, you know, it relates to past lives, it relates to our whole soul track, and so you have this, there's a particular energy that you're very attracted to in them, and that makes you very, very happy. There's something that I can feel in your field that every time you see them, something lights up in you. Okay, so these beings that are in your soul group, they'll be attracted to those bodies too, because we're generally in our soul groups. We'll be kind of attracted to the same thing. So we'll be attracted to coming into similar bodies that we enjoy. And so that's what it looks like here. Is there's a whole stream, and I feel all those little dogs through the ages laughing. I just get this sense of like a smiley face.
Yeah.
And that's what it brings out in you, because. Early in your life, you tended to be more serious, and these guys keep drawing out that sort of happy, smiley part, because otherwise there would be a tendency for you to kind of sink down to the earth, and they bring you up so you can enjoy life. So, yeah, they're all your friends. I mean, what else can I say?
Okay.
Wonderful.
Is there a specific mission that you see all of us having together that, as a part of a bonding, this whole bonding thing that we've had? Is that...
The deepest thing that comes through is the thing I just said. It's about raising the energy.
Okay.
This isn't something just minuscule. This is huge. Because the old energy is of loss and separation and duality. Mm-hmm. And the new energy is we're all coming together in this sort of, and they have, these palms have this sort of, in your family, have this sort of light energy. It's like a balloon. I could see a balloon going up.
Mm-hmm.
And your former tendency was to be dragged down by things.
Right.
So they're here to help you and all of you together to bring this kind of lighter, higher vibrational energy, like a balloon going up.
Okay, great.
While still enjoying life on the ground, because obviously these little guys are close to the ground.
Yeah, that's for sure. Great.
Okay, thank you, Penelope. We're going to move on. We have another question. If you have your hand up, can you speak? I'm not sure who it is.
Hi, it's Raleen.
Hey, Raleen. What question do you have for
me? I know, Lynn, you have talked in the past of animals reincarnating into different, like a cat to a dog or a dog to a cat, horse, whatever. I was wondering if Penelope has ever heard of, well, I have a friend's husband, and every time when I first met him, I wanted to scratch his ear. And then all of a sudden I had an image from one of my past lives of, I'm pretty sure it was him as a dog. Have you ever heard of animals reincarnating into humans?
Yes, yes. Anybody can go anywhere.
Okay.
It doesn't matter. You know, I mean, sometimes people will take a break from human lifetimes because it's so challenging, and they'll just go, my purpose is just to love. And so they take a dog body. And they just love and love and love and greet everybody. They have don't have to have any inhibitions about it. And then they have enough of that expression to be able to come back into human form and express it through human form. So people will take on, beings will take on whatever form is needed for them to fulfill their mission. Like some beings have never even been incarnate on the earth, but they're coming in droves in all kinds of bodies now in order to enlighten people. So you're getting master beings in all forms, from human to dogs to insects. All kinds of beings are coming in to bring light. So it's not a unusual thing for beings to go from species to species, even from dog to human or human to dog or whatever. That is less common. Most people stick on a track for a while. Most beings will stick on a track of experiencing a form for a while. But everybody's path is so different. They may jump from form to form of different species at will. Or, you know, sometimes it's a case of that they have such strong dog energy. They have so much affinity for dogs that sometimes you'll get a lot of pictures that appear to be past life pictures but are really just their the kind of their soul essence expresses dog. but it sounds like this one was what you said, that the person had been a dog previously.
Is it as difficult for animals on earth as they say that it is for humans? I mean, like it's a really challenge to come to the earth?
It's a lot more challenging to be human. All the animals have said that to me, that they have great compassion for humans because humans are the only animal that can lose their way. Humans are the only animal that can get lost in their mind.
Okay.
They're the only animal that forgets who they are. Well, it's challenging in terms of, survival on the earth in any form is a tough thing as it has been. You know, bodies are changing, things are changing, but right now it's a tough thing for anybody. But generally, beings who come in and become a non-human animal, they generally have it straight. They are here to really enjoy that form, even though that they may be learning some lessons that and working out their soul journey through that animal form, and maybe, you know, end up being euthanized in a shelter or being abused or whatever. But that goes for all beings on this earth. You'll work out whatever it is that you need to work out in whatever body that you need to. But the great thing about non-human animals is they just don't forget who they are.
That's wonderful.
Thank you.
Thanks, Penelope. And we have another question. I'm just going to go down. If you have your hand up, can you speak so we know it's you?
Hi, it's Maureen.
Hey, Maureen. I thought
hey.
It was you. Hi, Penelope.
Hi.
I thought I'd ask a question since I do a lot of in-spirit consultations, and I don't know if there's other points of view. I have clients many times ask me if their, you know, dog died, if they met grandma or other animals in the family who have died, you know, when they pass over. And for me, most of the time, the animals are disconnected from any of those people, you know. Are there times if they, you know, you say, you know, you told us to always check animals on the road and everything, and once in a while they don't remember, you know, passing over, they're stuck. Are there any time that they do meet people when they pass over or other animals?
Their experience is varied. You know, there's this common idea, particularly among Christians, it seems, that when you go on the other side, you're going to meet everybody in the family, that
right.
they're all going to be there, grandma, grandpa, aunt, uncle. But if you didn't have any particular connection with those beings, that isn't the case. Now, I've talked to probably thousands of beings of all different species who have gone over, and they have unique experiences, and it is not the, you know, the classic written down out-of-body or, you know, experience where they go and they see the light and then they meet grandma and grandpa who help them over. That may be the case for some people who are very close to their families, but it's not always the case. And not commonly the case that I've experienced with animals. They will go and they might see different people in different dimensions who they were close to. But it's not a there's no standard repertoire.
Right. Well, I didn't either. That they don't need. I think that they're so comfortable passing that they don't need people to greet them, or because I think that, you know, if grandma passed, that they know that and they have a connection to grandma if they want to. They don't.
Yes, exactly.
Need these things so that when they die, they don't need to suddenly have that connection. But I didn't know if sometimes they imprint so much with us if they ever, you know, carried that over. It was harder to get out of their body.
I never had an experience yet of an animal having that exact sort of textbook experience that you read about.
Right.
I've never had that yet. You know,
okay.
they generally, all kinds of experiences of life after death in beautiful places, and also connecting to people on earth who they know, making sure they're okay, and then expanding into you know, into infinity, I mean, is a common experience. They don't create, a lot of those are mind scenarios that people expect. So people will get what they expect. I mean, this is,
right.
when they go to the other side and they expect to meet grandma and grandpa, and they love grandma and grandpa, well, they'll meet grandma and grandpa.
Right. Well, I just haven't either, but I just wanted to know with all your vast experience of, because that's never been my experience, and some
yeah.
people have had, you know, you've had that, like I've had an experience with people that have been animals, and animals have been people. It's not often, but
yeah.
But I mean, I haven't done as many communications as you have, so
mm-hmm.
you might have experienced something else. So thank you.
You're welcome.
Great. Thanks, Maureen, and thanks, Penelope, for that. It's interesting. I've often had animals bring up maybe one particular person or a group of beings, often, you know, who we know nothing about. We don't know who they even are, but they're beings that they've known from other places, other realms,
yes.
other lifetimes, and that it's almost like other soul group members that they connect.
Yes.
That's sort of the way I've sensed it from my my communications. We do have time at least for one more question, and there are no hands up. So if you have a question and you want to put your hand up, you simply have to press 5-star, and we have one immediately. So we'll go to that one. I want to make sure we have time at the end just to tell them how to get your book, et cetera. So you have your hand up?
Hi, Penelope. It's Sally in Ontario, and I wanted to thank you very much for answering my question from last night. I sent it last night about Ralphie and Buddy.
Mm-hmm.
But I also wanted to ask, Hurricane Katrina, the animals that suffered so badly when that storm hit New Orleans, how can we sort of rationalize what they went through and deal with what they went through, the ones that died in that storm.
Yeah, it isn't really a thing to rationalize. You know, we try to put in our human minds, we try to put everything into little categories. Life, beings come and go. There are just, what, 40,000 people wiped out in China?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, this happens all over the earth all the time. You know, that animals are wiped out, plants are wiped out, whole areas are wiped out. This is part of life on earth. We don't have to rationalize it. It is the way it is.
Okay.
And so if you start thinking and you wrap your mind around, oh, how bad this is, that's where the suffering comes in.
Yeah.
If you just go, okay, this is the way it is, and okay, maybe it is my job right now to help those who have lost their homes or are suffering from Hurricane Katrina or from whatever disaster, great. If that's what you're meant to do, fantastic. But you can go with a sort of attitude of, we all want to be happy and we all can help each other, but we are not in charge of what happens here on Earth.
Yeah.
And so I don't rationalize any of it. I just go, that's the way it is here on Earth. Bodies are vulnerable, and they can drown. They can get pierced with knives. You can fall off your kitchen step stool. Bodies are vulnerable. And so however that happens, really it's a matter of attitude. Do you want to add to your suffering and the world's suffering, or do you want to help to bring more happiness? So cultivate the attitudes that I would recommend of acceptance, and also to just honor the beings as they come and go, as they're lifted out of body, as they come into form, that's a celebration. As they're lifted out, that's a celebration. And if the beings are confused or who have left their bodies, then you can also communicate with them and help them in that way. Or if the beings who are in their bodies and have lost their homes need homes, you can help them that way. But other than that, other than having compassion for all life and just honoring that we're all here to have an experience, the rest of the thoughts about how bad it all is, they just make everybody more miserable.
Right. No, I hear you. You're right. Yes. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
That's great, Penelope. And Penelope does mention in her book, as I see very often from animals, is sometimes when animals lose their lives, or whatever you want to call it, gain their spirit, or spirits, where they always have their spirit, but when they make their transition is a better way to put it, even if it seems like a horrific way to us, oftentimes they've just sailed out of their body prior to, you know, being eaten by a coyote or having a, you know, building fall on them or, whatever it may be. So it isn't, they don't, especially when we talk to them in spirit on the other side, they don't talk about this agonizing ending. Like, it seems more agonizing, like, when you dwell on it and bring those feelings up. So that's, I love the way you put that, Penelope. That's wonderful.
Yeah.
That was fabulous. I want to ask you, if people want to purchase your book, Animals and Spirit, or any of your other books for that matter, what is the best way for them to do it? What's the best way for you?
Well, the easiest way is to go to my website, and then you can just order it through the website. There's an order fulfillment service on the website.
Okay.
But people can get books from bookstores. They can go wherever they wish to, but that's a real easy way.
Okay, that's good. And everybody on this call will be obviously receiving the audio, and you will also be receiving Penelope's website in print. But again, it's www.animaltalk.net. And I want to thank you so much for being with us, Penelope. It's just been wonderful to have you and your wisdom, and I'm sure everyone on the call enjoyed it, and your wisdom and healing and all that you're doing for the animals and the all the beings and the earth is just very inspiring to me, and I'm sure to everybody on the group. So I just want to thank you very much, and I want everyone some of the members who are Mastermind members to know that next month's calls will be held on June 11th and 18th. We also want to say goodbye to our special guests who are not Mastermind members who are here, and Many blessings to you, and thank you from the bottom of my heart for doing this call for us today.
You're very welcome.
Okay, I'm going to unmute so everyone can say a quick goodbye.
Conference unmuted.
Good night, everybody. Have a good evening.
Thank you.
Bye.
Great call. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.